First of all, I want to thank you for inviting us. Thankful that somebody had enough confidence in us to think we might be able to do it. For my part, if you don't like it, blame Kent. We want to talk about the goodness of God, and you realize that the goodness of God goes from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and verse 21. So I got a lot of material to cover, and I reckon you all also know that Paul preached till midnight. So we'll go from there. The goodness of God. The beginning in Genesis, in the first chapter, and God saw, after he finished creation, in the 6 days, he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, the morning was the sixth day. It wasn't just good, it was very good. And this is what he had prepared for mankind, that he eventually was going to live on this earth that he had created. And so he did this and said it was very, very good. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to sight, and that the tree, it was good for food, and the tree of life was in the midst of it, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I don't think we can comprehend this garden that he planted for the man and the woman that he was creating. He had trees that was pleasant to look upon, and he also, there was trees that provided good food for them. So these things was good that he had made for mankind. So the next thing that I believe that he really did that was good, verse 18 of the second chapter, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a helpmeet for him. I don't know about the rest of you men, but I'm very glad that he did that. I thought that that was good of him. So we move on to Abraham in the 12th chapter. And Abraham, of course, the father of the Israelite nation. So the 12th chapter, I'm going to read three verses there. 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into a land that I'll show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Talking about the goodness of God, this is really where it begins. In thee and thy, and through thee, all families of the earth will be blessed. That promise is still, that promise is still in effect today. That all families have the opportunity to partake of the plan of salvation that God had for mankind, for this man that he created to start this living upon this good earth that he provided. And so Abraham was the beginning of all this. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis and verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, offered Isaac, as he told him to go offer him upon the altar, you've done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall oppress the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In thee and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. All of us, every man that has lived, has the has a plan of salvation, he can take advantage of it, be a part of God's family. This was the good thing that he'd done. And this promise is still in effect today. This, everyone can have a part in this. I want to move over now to Romans, the eighth chapter. Romans, the eighth chapter. And there's a little verse here in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I myself do not believe that everything that happens to me, that's going to happen to me this week, even this month, works out to my good. But I think this chapter 8 tells us what he was talking about. What the good things he did for mankind. Abraham had the promise. Everybody can take advantage of the plan of salvation. So, in verse 3 of chapter 8 of Romans, for what the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. This was something that God did for mankind. He sent his own son. And in the likeness of, here in the sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. This was one of the good things that he did for mankind. We move down to verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Here's something else good that he did. He did for mankind. This he resurrected Christ. He brought him forth from the grave. And he will also do that for you. And he'll do that for me. And when the end of time comes, we all will be resurrected. So this was another good thing that he did for mankind. He brought Christ from the dead and overcome the power of Satan. And then, so we also will have a resurrection. Talking about Christ, ascending Christ and his own son, I do want to read a little from the Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and starting at verse 11. He sent his only begotten son. But Christ being come in a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Another good thing he did for mankind. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer and sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This blood of Christ, we certainly owe our salvation to that. That was the greatest sacrifice that could be made. In this chapter 8, and we move along to verse 16, the spirit itself bearing witness, our spirit, that we are the children of God. So here's something good that has, through this promise to Abraham, through his seed, we are the children of God. In verse 17, and of children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him and that we may be also glorified together. So imagine we are children of God, we're heirs of God, but we're really also joint heirs with Christ. Think about that. This one who gave his life for you, the one that gave his life for me, we will be joint heirs with him. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man saith, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We are saved by hope. The hope that we have is because of what he told Abraham. In thee and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're told to pray. We do pray. And he's just telling us here that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. He presents his prayer to God in a better way than what we can. We cannot do what the Spirit is doing for us, presenting our prayer to God. And certainly this was something good that he did for mankind. In verse 34, in this same chapter, he says, who is he that condemneth us? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This Christ that died for us, he's also, the Spirit making intercession for us, Christ also making intercession for us. We have the help of Christ in our prayers. Certainly, these are really good things that he did for us. So then, the last verse that I want to read in this chapter is verse 31. I'm going to talk about all the things, good things that he did for mankind in verse 31 of chapter 8. What shall we have to say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we have all the help of God. We have the help of Christ. We have the help of the Spirit. And so this was really the good things that God did for us and continues to do for us every day. I want to go back to Psalms, the 32nd chapter. Some more good things that God does for mankind. Psalms 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. We go to God in prayer and we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We repent of those sins. We're promised that he will forgive us. We know this is true. As we came on down in that chapter, David, the psalm was written by David, and here's some instructions that he thought God would do for man. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Verse 10, he says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Blessed is the guy, is a person that trusts in the Lord. If he does this, mercy shall compass him about. Again, we have this promise from God, this help from God, that we trust in him and he will show us mercy. Good things that God has done for us. In Philippians, actually in the third chapter, he started the third chapter of Philippians and saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. But then as he continues to write his letter of encouragement to the church at Philippi, he came over to chapter 4 and verse 4 and said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So Paul, you all, I'm sure, know of his life, of the many things that happened to him, these scourgings and the beating with rods and the shipwrecks and the many things that happened to Paul. I know you know all about this, but he's saying here, you can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Think about the things that he did for us there in Romans chapter 8. Think about all the good things he did for mankind. And Paul says, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. So, what do we have to rejoice about? Paul, I mean, you know, he suffered all these afflictions and things, but yet there was rejoicing there. He had something to rejoice about, something he was thankful for. So, number one, we have been born again. You know, Christ told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. So we can rejoice in the fact that we've been born again. We can rejoice in the fact that we are children of God. He's made that possible through this hope, that this promise he made to Abraham. We can rejoice that our past sins have been forgiven. They're gone. There's no recollection of them. Their past sins are gone. We can also rejoice at the fact that we can have forgiveness of our sins every day that we live. I go over here to 1 John in the first chapter and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We do sin from time to time. We yield to temptation. It's not what God wants, but I'm sure all of us do. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. You can rejoice about that. We can rejoice in the fact that God answers our prayers. I'm sure all of us know that God does answer our prayer, and we can rejoice that he does that. He hears our prayers. He answers them. Number six, he has promised never to leave us. He made this promise to the Israelite children over and over, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, there in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He will not forsake you. He promised this. Another thing we can rejoice about is the fact that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All we need for life and godliness is in this book. We don't need anything that's got more or anything that's got less, but this Bible is all we need to live in this life and know godliness. He also has given us great and precious promises, and so we can rejoice about that, the promises he's made. He's promised to forgive our sins. He's promised to bless us, and he certainly does bless us every day of our life. So among all the good things that he's done for us, we go over to the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter. He's done a lot for us. He helps us every day. He blesses us every day. And here's one of the best things that God has done for us. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's great. We can rejoice about that. But here's the best part. And God shall wipe away all tears from her eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It don't get any better than that. Everybody here tonight has suffered pain. Everybody here has shed tears. Everybody deals with something. But in that city that God prepared for the faithful, those who trust in him, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow, no more tears. He's been good to us. The goodness of God. As Paul said in the Roman letter, don't you know that the goodness of God brings you to repentance when you realize what all God has said about you? The goodness of God. It's here, and it's here to stay, and we need to trust God, and he'll show us mercy and grace. Thank you.